Almost got away from Demko and then tipped away before Nyquist could get a shot at it. And the Canucks are going to win the opening game of the series 4-2.
I think to a man, we know we probably didn't play our best, but we've done a really good job of just moving straight ahead. Just forget about it, rinse it, and let's go back to work. It was a fun game. I think the emotions were high. It was physical. Had a lot of good, hard playoff games. We kind of relished in that. And like I said, we stepped on our toe a little bit.
They blew it. They had game one in their hands last night, and they blew it. And Andrew Burnett, that was his way of trying to, you know, hey, it's okay. You know, it was a fun game, a little back and forth, you know, a little playoff hockey. It'll be fine. We'll get back to work tomorrow. We're ready for game two. I know. That's how this, you know, it's you gotta try to turn around for game two. Well, not on this show, because we're going to start today on game number one. 615-737-1025. Let's get the phone number out. We will get to you early and often on a Reaction Monday. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Ian, I got to tell you, they blew it last night.
Not their best performance.
They blew it. And so I don't think the Predators deserved to win last night's game. And they didn't win last night's game. But most importantly, they're in big trouble. I mean, I said this all day Friday on the show. And I picked the Predators to win the series. And I said all day on Friday, the winner of game one wins the series. This feels like the kind of series where one team is, you know, that one little beginning to the, you know, that little kick at the beginning is going to be the difference in the series. It's what happened in 2015 against Chicago, where they stole game one and you lost in six. It's what happened in 2016 against San Jose, where they won games one and two and you lost in seven. It's what happened in 2018 when you lost at home against Winnipeg in game one. It just feels to me like this series, these teams are somewhat evenly matched. And it feels to me like what you needed was you needed to win game one. You needed to feel good about yourself. You needed to put Vancouver on their heels and make them desperate tomorrow night. And they couldn't do it. And the worst part about not doing it is they had the game in their hands. They went to the power play up 2-1 in the third period. And I said at that time, I said, next goal wins. And not only did they lose, but it's one thing when you lose and the other team goes out there and they just beat you. They just play better than you. They just play tougher than you. They just play harder than you. 2019 Dallas, you know, was kind of like that, even though you were a disaster on the power play, which is kind of what led to you losing that series anyways. But that's one thing. But it is another thing when you give up a goal because the goalie's not paying attention, which is what happened at the beginning of the second period last night. I mean, the only way UC Saros could not have seen that puck is if UC Saros was not paying attention to that puck. That's $5 million goalie, folks. You can't win playoff games doing that. And then Lauzon and Carrier, who I thought had played great last night for the first two periods, and to be honest with you, I was a little worried about them going into the playoff series because I thought they both kind of sucked going into the season. And then Andrew Burnett comes in as coach, and they both had great seasons, and they played great through the first two periods, and then they completely blew the game on that third goal. And because you gave away two easy goals, two goals you never, ever, ever should give the opponent, you lose. You will not win playoff games giving goals away to opponents, and you know it. And they had it. And again, I think they're in big trouble. So I'm going to cut this into two halves. The good news and the bad news. Ian, where do you want to start? The good news or the bad news?
Always start with the good news.
The good news. If they take game two tomorrow night, then it in theory, doesn't matter. Now, we can complain about if they were up 2-0 in the series going back to Bridgestone Arena. Game three or four could be a kill shot, but it is what it is. If you take game two tomorrow night, it doesn't matter. You're tied going back to Bridgestone Arena. And clearly, if last night proved anything, because the Predators stunk last night. I heard the midday show today talking about, did they play well last night? The answer is no. They lost 65% of the puck battles last night. They could not, on an entire power play, enter the offensive zone. They were awful last night. Forsberg, Yossi. So if you can play with that team with everybody outside of Gus Nyquist and Jason Zucker playing like complete horse crap, I think you've got a legitimate shot to beat this team in some of these games. If that had been Edmonton on the ice last night, they'd have lost 8-3. So that's good news. You take game two tomorrow, you bring it back to Bridgestone Arena with a chance to take the two games and take a 3-1 lead. That is the good news. Here's bad news. Number one, your top guys, Yossi, Forsberg, Saros, and I'm going to throw McDonough into this because he played for their team last night. They were all terrible. To the standards with which we hold them, they were all awful. The goalie, I think Vingan texted me, he's going to be on later today. Vingan texted me and said that Saros allowed 1.6 goals above expected, which means that in a game that you really lost by one goal, he gave up 1.6 extra goals. You lose. Can you remember anything Yossi did last night? And Philip Forsberg looked like a run-of-the-mill second liner last night. And then don't even get me started on McDonough. I thought he was playing for their team last night. I mean, some of these passes, you know, they're sitting there trying to pass the puck, you know, send it back, and he's sending it back to nobody, and now Saros has to come out and play it. They didn't get a change, and I just thought McDonough was horrendous. For a guy who is a quote-unquote serial winner, I thought he was awful. The other guys that are the serial winner groups, you know, O'Reilly and Shen and the other Barry Trotz guys, they actually played pretty well, but I thought McDonough was horrendous. You know, the number two, as far as the bad news is concerned, goals 1 and 3 for Vancouver were heinous. I mean, again, the first one, Saros' head must not have been in the game. There's no other way around it. You know, I heard some people on Twitter last night, well, it deflected off a Yossi stick from like 15 feet in front of the net, and Saros is staring at it the whole time. That has to be a save. Like, that has to be a save if that Scarbini goalie they called up from Atlanta, which I didn't even know was a minor league affiliate of the Predators, is in the game. He's got to make that save, much less UC Saros. And then on the third goal, Carrier completely panicked. And you can't have that. I don't care if you're a good regular season player this year. You panic in the third period of a playoff game, you're no good to me. Number three, they cannot stop this JT Miller. I mean, I always talk about feeling guys in the game, right? When it comes to the NFL draft, for instance, it's like, okay, if I'm going to take this pass rusher with the fourth pick, like, do I feel him in the game at all times? Well, last night, the two guys I felt for Vancouver were JT Miller and Tyler Myers. I didn't really feel much of Quinn Hughes. I didn't feel much of Brock Besser. I didn't feel much of Elias Pettersson. But boy, I felt JT Miller. That guy, JT Miller, they got matched up on McCarron, and he ate him for lunch. I mean, he dominated last night. Where's your JT Miller? Guy who just takes over the game by himself. I thought I was watching Mark Scheifele in the 2018 Winnipeg series again. Miller was awesome. That's the third bad thing. The fourth bad thing is this, and this one got up my craw last night. I thought Rick Tocchet absolutely worked Andrew Burnett. Andrew Burnett, his calling card, his specialty is the power play. He's supposed to be the best power play coach in the league. And in the middle of the second period, after the Predators had the puck in the offensive zone for, I want to say, like a minute and 40 seconds on the power play, Rick Tocchet and crew, again, in the middle of the period, it wasn't like they went to intermission and said, okay, when they go on the power play, here's what we're going to do. In the middle of the period, they adjusted, and they just decided to clog the zone, and you weren't allowed to get in. They just didn't let you get through the neutral zone. And it shouldn't be that simple. Not if you've got the power play guru coaching your team. Now, look, Tocchet got to control the matchup, so some of these things, you know, are going to look good on his end, right? Like Miller versus McCarron, and you won't have that at Bridgestone Arena. But again, I'm asking everybody to do their part. This is the playoffs. And Andrew Burnett, If Rick Tocchet's going to make that adjustment on the power play, Andrew Burnett, being the power play savant that he is, has to come with a counter to it. Because I believe that that was the third power play, which was the second one in the second period. The first power play they had in the second period, they put the puck in the Vancouver zone the entire time, and that's when Tocchet and crew changed it up. Well, then by the third period, Burnett's got to have the adjustment to the adjustment, and you go on the power play up 2-1, that's the game. You score, it's over. And they didn't do anything. I'm worried about the Predator size because I see too many forwards. You know, some guys have size like McCarron, but they don't have the speed or the skill to play with a guy like JT Miller. Tommy Novak, who I was worried to death about in this series. I said it on Robbie and Rex Road Friday. I said, I'm worried about Tommy Novak because I don't know with the size of Vancouver, especially on defense. I mean, they got some ogres out there. Like, I'm not sure that I just didn't think that Tommy Novak would be able to be effective offensively. And for the most part, he wasn't last night. And I think Novak's going to be a problem at his own end. Because he's kind of always a problem at his own end, but where they get to pick the matchups on the road, I worry about it. And so some of these bottom six guys, like, I'm worried about them playing tougher competition where the other team's coach gets to dictate the matchups. And I'm worried about the fact, the last final nugget of bad news is Barry Trotz said on our show a couple weeks ago, hey, if you get matched up with one of these Canadian teams, i.e. Vancouver, wink, then all the pressure's on them. There's not going to be any pressure on the Predators. All the pressure will be on Vancouver. Last night, you tell me which team looked like they were playing with more pressure on their shoulders. The team that was skating up and down the ice, that controlled the puck for pretty much the entire third period? Or the team that gave up a goal that shouldn't have happened, but it did, and then 12 seconds later had their third and fourth defensemen crap right down their pants and set up a shot, a slot opportunity right in front of the net. There's nothing Saros can do about it because Lauzon and Carrier completely panicked. You tell me who's feeling more pressure. Because Philip Forsberg didn't look like the regular season Philip Forsberg last night. So the good news, you take game two, it's fine. The bad news, everything else. I am incredibly disappointed about last night's game. I know that, hey, there's still a lot of hockey left to be played, but I think they're going to lose a series. I think they'll probably lose it in five games. I really thought game one had that much juice, and I'm not going to be the guy who tells you on Friday game one's going to decide the series, the Predators piss away game one, and then say, oh, no, 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 it's okay. I'm not going to do that. So where they sit right now, they're in trouble. Like, now, to me, it's kind of a moment of truth. And it's not a moment of truth for the coach. And it's not a moment of truth for the GM. But it is the moment of truth for some of these players. For some of these guys that have been on these teams for a long time and have watched a lot of these playoff clunkers. Because I know we blame John Hines, and he deserved a lot of it. And I know we blame David Poile, and he deserved a lot of it. And I know Peter Laviolette got blamed for that power play in 2019. But Yossi, Saros, Forsberg, they've lost a lot of playoff series, guys. And that's who I'm looking at right now. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. Well, I'm just getting started. We'll get to your reaction today. 615-737-1025. And there was a moment last night where all of my optimism, again, I was optimistic on Friday. I said I thought the Predators were going to win in six. I was optimistic yesterday. I was optimistic after the Predators weathered that first Vancouver storm. And then they got on the board 1-0. And all of a sudden, I thought, oh, my God, they might be able to take it. There was one moment last night where I just put my hands in the air and said, they're probably going to lose the series. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's talk Window Nation. Window Nation. I love them. I can rely on Window Nation. They're the best. April is here. And if your windows will not open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to my friends at Window Nation. Because right now, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free. So there's no limit on how much you can save. And plus, you can save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With that proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. So do not miss out. Again, that's for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free and no interest or payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate. And I've said, you know, I had them out for my free in-home estimate. They told me I didn't need windows. That was the moment that I realized, hey, these guys are for real. Like, they really are experts and they care. Not about making a buck, but about taking care of your home. That's windownation.com.
Up the right side. Tipped on over. Brought into the zone. And the shot. And the score. Oh, my. Elias Lindholm coming in left side. Got enough on it to get it past UC Saros. And the game is tied at one.
Elias Lindholm gets the home team on the board. Not much of a shot, but it's a transition. Quick transition from Vancouver. And that's one UC Saros is going to want back. He has been had a tough start to the season. Good down the stretch. Lindholm eyes up the whole way. Takes advantage of a little bit of a screen right there, but you know, this goes into the theme of the Vancouver Canucks. Get the puck out of the D zone as quick as you can. 1-2 quick pass through the neutral zone. And you know, Rick Tocchet was saying he doesn't like shots on net unless there's somebody there, but I bet he liked that one.
Yeah, you know, Rick Tocchet doesn't like it when you put it on net and the goalie's looking right at it and it's going to be a save every time. Except for the one time that for some reason the goalie's not paying attention, which is what happened last night. And that was the moment where I thought to myself, oh, God, they're going to blow this series. They had the 1-0 lead in intermission, which I didn't love the first period because I thought the Predators made a lot of boneheaded mistakes, but that building last night looked electric. So I'm going to give them credit for kind of weathering the storm, and then Zucker gets on the board, and there's a lot of positive momentum going into period two. And Saros, I thought, was great in the first period. And then all of a sudden, you know, Elias Lindholm just comes skating right down with Josi, and he puts one right on net for the sake of it. Like, he just, you know, let's just shoot it for the sake of it. It deflects, like, a tiny little bit. Saros is staring right at it, goes into the net. When it happened in live time, I saw the goal, and I thought to myself, what happened? I mean, I must have missed something, because to me, it looked like Elias Lindholm, you know, just went down and fired a shot from 12 feet out. I mean, you wouldn't even do that on a penalty shot. And he fires it from 12 feet out, and it went in the back of the net against the all-star goalie. What happened? And I saw the replay, and I thought, you have got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. And then I saw some excuse making, oh, the puck, it deflected off of Josi's stick. Maybe, like, a little bit. There was enough time for him to make the adjustment. And I have been a defender of UC Saros for a long time. But I can't get over that second goal last night. You cannot give up goals like that and win playoff series. And that leads me to Saros as a whole. That's the kind of goal that leads me to the conversation that I think we need to have. And that conversation is, if he can't do better than that last night, if he can't win you a playoff series, then when this playoff series is over, it's time to move on. Because I'm sorry, but you don't get 15 chances to prove that you can win a playoff series. Saros was the loser in that terrible Arizona bubble series. I gave him a pass. You know, he's a slow starter. COVID, it was weird. It was all kind of crazy. And so, you know, that's fine. Thought he played okay in the Carolina series. I actually thought he played really well in the Carolina series in 21, but they didn't win. And then he didn't play in that Colorado series. So this is series number 3. And at some point, if you're going to be this $8 million goalie, which is what they are saying that he is supposedly going to one day be, if you're an $8 million goalie, you win playoff series. Pecorine made a lot of money. He won playoff series. Tuukka Rask made a lot of money. He won playoff series. Henrik Lundqvist made a lot of money. He won playoff series. I can go get Kevin Lankinen to lose. I don't need to pay you $8 million in order to lose playoff series for me. And what happened last night, I mean, again, Vingan says the analytic was 1.6 goals over expected. That's terrible. That's terrible, especially in a playoff game that was decided by one goal. So if UC Soros can't get his crap together, then he's not worth keeping around. I mean, so to me, when I saw that puck go in the net, I said, I don't know if I can rely on this guy in the playoffs. I don't know if this guy can win in the playoffs. I don't know if he's good enough to win in the playoffs. I don't care about the regular season. I'm talking about the playoffs. You don't get to lose to that terrible Arizona team in that terrible bubble series, in which I think John Hines flubbed. I thought he should have gone to Rene after Soros had lost game three in that series, and I even asked Hines about it on Zoom after the series was over, and Hines was pissed. But if you can't win in the playoffs, you're no good to me. I'm sorry. Win as many regular season games as you want. I'll give you a regular season trophy. But I'm not interested in that. And if you can't get your head in the game, which I think is what happened coming out of the break into the second period, if you can't get your head in the game and make an easy save, then just go to the draft in Vegas and get a first-round pick for him and move on. And it won't be the haul that everybody wanted for Soros and everything else. But again, it's like the old Branch Rickey line. I can lose without you too. You know, if you're not helping me win, you're no good to me. And that moment last night was the moment where I was like, oh God, here we go. Because that's just inexcusable. And what was it AJ said on the goal right there? Well, you know, there was a little bit of a screen. No, it wasn't. A screen is what happened on the second Vancouver goal, which I don't blame Soros for, and I don't really blame Soros for the third goal. He could have saved the second goal. He had no shot on the third one. But you can't give up those softies and expect to win playoff games. And you can't give up softies and lose games and expect to win playoff series. I mean, at some point, if you're an elite goalie, you have to steal a series, much less a game. And in this case, he didn't even have to steal the game. He just had to play competent in net. And he did not. So if Soros can't get it together and it's going to be what it was last night, then I don't need him anymore. Then trade him at the draft, move on, put Askarov in, and re-sign Lankinen to be the backup, and on you go. Because, I mean, what that was last night was disgraceful. And I'll say this. If he gives me another craptabulous performance tomorrow night, I may make the move to Lankinen for game three. I might do it. And I've never said that about Pekka-Rinne, even though after game two of the Stanley Cup final, people were asking Laviolette if he was thinking about making a move, which I thought was ridiculous. Rinne had gotten you to that point, and I've never said that. The only time I ever floated it out there was during the Arizona bubble series when Pekka-Rinne was still good. I never thought they should put Pekka-Rinne in the Carolina series. The Colorado series, I mean, the whole goalie situation was a mess anyways. But if he plays the way that he played, because Kevin Lankinen was too good this regular season. And again, it's not about regular season wins, I get it. But if Soros is going to have the same performance that he had the other night, if he's going to have that tomorrow night, I'd think about it. 615-737-1025. We'll get to some of your phones. 615-737-1025. Plus, the fact that that goal wasn't the most inexcusable moment of the game last night is somewhat telling. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You know I love Hiller. They take great care of my home. They can do the exact same for you. Hiller is cheering on the Preds in game two. They are rooting hard. They are very excited. So, I will just say this because they're proud supporters of the Preds. Save and smile this month with Hiller. where from now until April 30th, you can take advantage of big savings on home systems, like enjoying $1,500 off select new HVAC systems, whole home water filtration and descalers, or select new whole home generators. If you've been waiting for the right time to upgrade or replace your systems, now is the time. Visit happyhiller.com for the details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Suter, and then a shot by Garland goes wide. Out of the left wing corner to the blue line. Here's Hughes with a shot, and he's tied the game. Quinn Hughes ties it up. 2-2 at 8:59 of the third period. Off the faceoff following the goal. Hughes sends it in down the left side. Trying to feed it out in front. A shot at another score. Dakota Joshua. As the Canucks have come back to take a 3-2 lead. 2 goals in 12 seconds.
I thought we were starting to take over the game, and we fall asleep on a shift in the offensive zone, lose assignments, don't block a shot. It's 2-2, and I thought we had a lot of momentum going there. So that's hockey. We got to learn from it, move on, etch-a-sketch memory, short-term, and move straight ahead.
Just a killer last night. And you know what's funny is a couple of years ago, you know, we had a big debate on the program, the great John Hines debate. You remember that, Ian?
Sure.
Me and Chris Mason going at it over the coach. And, you know, where we really got into it was about Carrier. In fact, it led to C-Mace accidentally cursing on the air, which was an all-time funny moment. And I thought Carrier sucked. And as bad as I thought Carrier sucked, I thought Lazon sucked even worse. I told Barry Trotz, you know, when we were talking about Andrew Burnett earlier this season, I said, I did not even know if Jeremy Lazon was an NHL player, like a legitimate NHL defenseman. And this year, they were awesome. Last night, they were really good for the first two periods, and then that. And, you know, I know Andrew Burnett's trying not to act like it's that big of a deal. You know, hey, there's the ups, there's the downs. We got to stay even keel. I get it. But it's like, those are plays that I expect AHL guys to not screw up. I'm not asking you to do anything crazy. I'm asking you not to panic with the puck right in front of the net twice. And so that's what gets you beat. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter says, you are completely wrong, Jared. The Predators have proved time and time again this year that they have been able to overcome adversity when their back is to the wall. They prove they can compete with and beat this team. It would have been nice to win last night, says the texter, but win tomorrow and you can have home ice going back to Nashville. You acting like the series is already over is a Skip Bayless take. Now, see, here's what I'm going to tell you. I don't care that the Predators have never won a series in which they've lost game one. They're 0-12. I do not care about that stat. Because what happened, you know, 2 years ago and 3 years, it has nothing to do with this team. But I said going into this that I felt like in an evenly matched series, the key to the series was who gets the leverage by winning game one. And you lost. So I'm not going to sit here and all of a sudden change my tune from Friday, in which I said that game one was crucial, and then say, oh, no, it's okay that they lost. And it's not okay that they lost. Because now, I mean, I think they're on their heels tomorrow night. I really believe, and I remember Keith Jones, you know, during the Cup Final in 2017, and the Predators lost the first two games at Pittsburgh, and Keith Jones said, Nashville fans, I know you're new to this, but it's okay. You're only down 2-0. You're going back to your building. You've got a chance to even the series. It'll be okay. And the Predators did end up tying the series and whatnot. I don't feel that way about this series. Like, I think if they lose tomorrow night, I think it is done, 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 done. I give them about a 10% chance to win this series right now. That's how important I thought game one was. And the part that angers me the most is that they had it. Like, they had it. They had the game in their hands. One texter says, the defense was not great. Lazon and Carrier looked overmatched. McDonough and Shen looked slow. But if the top line doesn't go, minus three, the Predators would have won. Again, I don't really care about the whole plus-minus thing. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me, and I thought Shen actually played well last night. Like, I don't think Shen's very good, but I thought Luke Shen played well last night. What bothers me, again, is the fact that got nothing from Josi, got nothing from Forsberg, got nothing from Soros, but I really didn't get anything from McDonough last night. And while I don't think they really got much from Pettersson and Besser and Hughes, they did get a lot from JT Miller. You know, that was kind of their ace in the hole. And I thought Demko played very well last night. And that save he had on that Evangelista pass last, that pass from Evangelista last night was a freaking baby. I mean, it was a beautiful pass. I think it was Novakian who was crashing the net. And
on, you mean the chance? It was Beauvillier.
It was Beauvillier. Okay. So it was Beauvillier that was crashing the net. And I mean, had great positioning. And I mean, 10 times out of 10, if you can make that pass and you've got the guy and you hit him in stride like that, that's going to be a goal. And that was an incredible save by Demko. And again, their guys, their big guys outplayed your big guys because Miller and Demko showed up and your guys didn't. One texter said, I didn't think the Predators played terribly last night, but the big boys, Josi, Forsberg, and Soros, just didn't produce as much as their big guys. Bingo. And nobody ever wins playoff series because somebody's fourth line outproduces the other team's top lines and everything else. You can't go into this playoff series and expect Kiefer Sherwood to outscore Elias Pettersson. This is why Roman Josi makes all that money and why Philip Forsberg makes all that money. This is why. When we talk about how, oh, if you want UC Soros, it'll cost you two NHL-ready prospects and two first-round draft choices. Because these teams want to pick these guys up in order to win in the playoffs. Adam in Portland's been waiting patiently. He's up next here on the program. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I disagree with the person who said the Preds have proven time and again. I think what the Preds have proven is that they are streaky. They are a streaky team. So I don't think we necessarily finished the regular season strong. And being able to jump up on them, while that's good, they didn't – I mean, we look like a team that was not as deep as Vancouver. So, and when you do that, if you're not paying attention the entire time, the entire game, you end up giving up easy opportunities, kind of like how they did against Dallas, you know, right before Christmas. And it's the same thing. So I completely disagree that we've proven resiliency. I think we could absolutely win four in a row against them, but we could also get swept. And I don't feel real good about the team right now in this series. If I'm being perfectly honest, I feel like you needed to start momentum the right way and you didn't do that.
Okay. So that, I agree with. I agree that they needed the momentum of game one. Adam, thank you for your call. I agree that they needed the momentum of game one. The other stuff about how they finished the season and all that, I don't care about that. Just like I don't care that, oh, we hadn't played since Monday. I don't care about that. Just like I don't care about the fact that they're 0-12 all time when losing the first game. I don't care about that. But I do care about taking control of the series in game one. And they didn't do it. And the most disappointing part is that they had it. Like, they had the game. They're in the third period, up 2-1, going on the power play with the best power play coach in the league. And they blew it. Jim says, you're an idiot if you think an 80-mile-per-hour slap shot from 12 feet that's tipped should always be stopped. Well, then I guess AJ Molesko's an idiot because on the TV broadcast, she said the exact same thing I said, which is that shot needs to be stopped. If you're an elite goalie, you stop that. And again, I just hate the excuse-making when an excuse is not valid. You know, Adam brought up in his call, he talked about how, you know, I just don't think that they match up well, you know, or have the depth or whatever it may be that he said. And I think we have to remember that they control the matchups in Vancouver. So JT Miller's going to go crazy because he's going to be matched up against Michael McCarron, and that's Rick Tocchet's choice. Well, at Bridgestone Arena, he's probably going to match JT Miller up against Colton Sissons. And so at that point, it's going to be a lot more difficult for JT Miller to have the kind of performance he had. And then you get to pick who Philip Forsberg goes out against. So we need to keep that in mind. But stop making excuses where excuses don't need to be made. There does not need to be an excuse for why that puck didn't get saved. That puck has to get saved. There's not an excuse, in my opinion, for what happened with Carrier and Lauzon in the third period. One texter says it happens every year. The bottom six score more goals than the top guys. Forsberg was completely silent last night, and Ryan O'Reilly was the only guy who was stepping up. You know, I don't think that it's... Like, I thought Luke Shen played well last night. I thought especially on some of these penalty kills, you know, one of them, I think it was Carrier went to the box, and so Shen pretty much had to play, you know, I want to say like maybe two shifts on a penalty kill, and he cleared the puck twice. And I thought Shen, again, for the standard with which I expect Luke Shen to play, I thought Luke Shen played well. Well, remember, Luke Shen is one of the serial winners that Barry Trotz brought in, just like Ryan O'Reilly is one of the serial winners that Barry Trotz brought in. And I'm not accusing anybody of anything by saying this, but if those guys are serial winners because they always win, well, what's that make Forsberg and Yossi and Saros and the guys who haven't won a playoff series since 2018 when they beat the Punch and Judy Avs? 615-737-1025. More of your phones. 615-737-1025. There's one stat from last night. One analytic that I can't get over from last night. And we'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 and your phones here, as today will be the day that we complain about game one. Tomorrow will be the day that we turn our attention to game two. I think that's fair. 615-737-1025. Because don't they call that, Ian? Don't they call that the 24-hour rule?
Something like that, yep.
Well, we're still within 24 hours of puck drop last night. FanDuel Sportsbook, that's my official sportsbook app. The road to the NBA Finals starts now. And new customers on FanDuel can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. You can pick three-pointers made in a game. You can go with over-under point totals, first basket score, and more. Boy, some of these first-round series are just brutal. Like the Boston-Miami series without Jimmy Butler. Woof. Just go to FanDuel.com/JGM to get started. Again, that's FanDuel.com/JGM. And FanDuel is my official sportsbook bet and an official sports betting partner of the NBA. 21 and over in present Tennessee. First online real money wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issue is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Gus, pretty fast-paced back and forth game throughout. Canucks had a big third period, but overall, what did you think of your team's game tonight?
I thought it was a tight game. I thought probably both teams did enough good things to win the game, and obviously a little disappointed when we had the lead in the third to not close it out. It's usually we're able to do that, but it's hockey. We haven't played hockey for a little while here. You know, it's been a week since we played, and it's gonna be a long series. It's two good teams going at it. So yeah.
Gus Nyquist, well, you know, we didn't play hockey for an entire week. So, I mean, yeah, you got to give us that. Sorry. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter. Now, I'm not going to be mad about what was said after the game last night by the coach or what was said by Gus Nyquist, because I'm not sure they completely believe that. But, again, you got to turn your attention over to game two. I've always talked about how, you know, sports culture, if you grow up playing sports or in a sports environment, you know, sports culture teaches us to never feel sorry for ourselves. Feeling sorry for yourself isn't going to unthrow that interception. Now, sometimes I think where the line gets blurred is that in real life, you should be allowed to feel sorry for yourself and grieve when bad things happen. But sports, you know, it's not going to do any good for the Predators to sit there and be like, man, we blew that game last night, so I give them credit. But there was one stat last night. Adam Vingan sent me the analytics because I saw on the TV broadcast on Bally's last night after the game was over, it said the Predators out grade A chanced Vancouver 4-0. And I'm like, I don't think that's right. I mean, they scored right in front of the net. If that wasn't a grade A chance, I'm talking about that third goal. If that's not a grade A chance, I don't know what is a grade A chance. And so Vingan sent me kind of the, let's see, I think this is Logic with a Q. So he sent me the analytic report after the game last night. And for the most part, there were a lot of things that were even, right? I was shocked by this stat. The Predators were in the offensive zone 22 minutes and 37 seconds last night. Vancouver 23:49. That's not a big difference. Which it felt to me like Vancouver had the puck the entire game. Shots, Nashville 22, Vancouver 21. Slot shots on net, Vancouver 10, Nashville 9. High danger scoring chances, Vancouver 8, Nashville 7. But here are the two stats that killed you. Number one, puck battle win percentage. Vancouver 65.5% to 34.5% for the Predators. You are not going to win in the playoffs if they win two out of every three puck battles. And that's what happened last night. Now, some of this is going to happen because when they're at home, they get to control the matchup. And so Tommy Novak is going to be out there against guys who are going to rough them up. Like, that's just how it's going to be. But you can't lose two out of every three puck battles. The other thing, odd man rushes, Vancouver 5, Nashville 1. That's the difference in the game. Let's go back to your phone, 615-737-1025. Paul says, after the O'Reilly goal, the power play was pitiful. Letting Vancouver kill that many penalties really felt like the catalyst for the momentum shift. Also, was it just me or was half the team falling inexplicably or whiffing on passes for no other reason than playoff nerves? I saw a lot of dudes hitting the ice last night. Led, I thought, by Novak. You know, I was worried about Tommy Novak playing in this series. And clearly Andrew Burnett was too, because Mace and Willie were talking about it on the broadcast on the postgame show, and they were talking about, like, man, 10 minutes of ice time for Tommy Novak. And I think it was A.J. Molesko said on the ESPN broadcast that the Predators looked gassed. And I'm thinking to myself, you had a week off. How are you gassed? Well, play Tommy Novak 10 minutes, and then everybody else has to play more. And that right there is kind of an issue. And those are the things, again, that those things cannot happen if you want to win playoff games. So I don't know why they kept falling on the ice last night, but they did. I will give Gus Nyquist credit because Gus Nyquist, his skate broke, and somehow, some way, he was able to finish the shift and then get off. Now, the thing I didn't like, and this bothered me last night because I think the Predators have proven throughout the course of the year that they're an intelligent team. And I thought they did too many stupid things last night. I thought Colton Sissons cross-checking the guy in the corner at the beginning of the game was stupid. I thought Cole Smith at one point lost his stick and was chasing after somebody into the O-zone. And instead of going and grabbing a stick, he just tries to check the guy, like, with his body. And I'm like, Why? Just get a stick. It's not like you have to go across the ice in order to do it. You're headed that way. Just grab one and then check the guy. And so that bothered me. So a lot of people have texted in about how the Predators have lost to Vancouver every game this season. I mean, I don't think that they've played Vancouver in 2024 until last night. That doesn't bother me. Like, there's a lot of these stats that people are, see, we're a bad matchup for Vancouver. We didn't beat them in the regular season, and that means we can't beat them in the playoffs. No, you didn't beat them in the playoffs last night because you pissed the game away. That's your fault. That has nothing to do with them. That has nothing to do with the matchup. I mean, this guy, Joshua, I mean, he does not pass the Jared Stillman test of good. Which, Ian, you know what that is.
Yeah, never heard of him.
I've never heard of this guy. Have you heard of him? I mean, I'm sure you have. You play fantasy hockey, but
I mean, a little bit, yeah. This line, they had been talking about this line, but this is a career year for him.
for Joshua?
Yeah.
Never heard of this guy before. And he went out there and looked like Sidney Crosby. One texter says, I think we're all prisoners of the moment. When you get swept in the regular season by the Canucks, why would we expect them to win the series? The Preds had a great run, but other than that, we're up and down the whole season as always and middle of the pack. But the good thing is the team can get better next year. Screw next year. I'm not worried about next year. We'll talk about next year next year. I do not care that they lost to Vancouver in December. What happens in December has nothing to do with what's going to happen. You cannot look at last night's game, in which you lost basically by a goal, and say, well, we can't beat this team when your star goalie allowed 1.6 goals above expected. That stat alone tells you that the goalie lost the game. That has nothing to do with how good Vancouver is. That has everything to do with your goalie choking, which is what happened yesterday. And that's, I think, what bothers me the most, is that I'm not going to say that I think that Forsberg and Josi and Saros are chokers, but I'm worried about the fact that they might be. And I'm worried that last night they choked. And that if the nerves of game one in Vancouver, when, again, Barry Trotz said, hey, all the pressure's on them, I wonder if that is a sign of what this core group is really made of. One texter says, if you're ready to move on from Saros, the question has to be asked, are you ready to pass the torch to Askarov, who is at Milwaukee, to be your long-term number one goalie? Is he ready? I mean, if they were willing to trade him when they thought they weren't going to make the playoffs, and then after they didn't trade him, say, well, we can still trade him at the draft, my guess is they are. And they didn't draft him in 2020 to never play. So at some point, it's going to be time for Askarov to play. 615-737-1025. I'm not going to complain about the Predators for the entire day. I'm just not going to do it. Plus, we got the NFL draft coming up. And I have a Titans hot draft take. With all the speculation and all the reports and all the rumors and all the names and all the... There's one thing that I just feel in my gut is going to happen on Thursday, or at least is what the Titans are planning for Thursday. And we'll get to that coming up next. Let's talk about the draft first. Do not miss our coverage right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We'll be at Twin Peaks in Madison at 6 o'clock. Now, I'll be there at 2, but we'll be there at 6 for the start of the best and most authentic from the heart draft coverage in town. This isn't going to be the everybody's an all-star draft coverage that you get from the national broadcast. And this is not going to be the Sunshine Titan pumping broadcast. This is going to be the same broadcast that we had that went crazy when Dylan Radins was drafted. The same one that went crazy when they drafted Monty Rice. And the same one last year that went crazy when they took a guard. Plus, Chris, Derek, and Trevor. At Twin Peaks on Thursday, coverage of the draft presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, ESPN Bet Sportsbook, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.